You're listening to The Mark White Show.
That's a good how do you do.
Sometimes life brings you a moment you always will remember. Some of nature's most beautiful creations framed by places we know and cherish. And aren't we in luck that some of life's most memorable scenes are right here at home, all together at Alabama the Beautiful, the group on Facebook where the eye captures the moment. And it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out AlabamaTheBeautifulMagazine.com.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes. North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org. CEI Bookstore and Truth Publications have been serving you and your family since 1955. With their wide selection of Christian books, Bibles, gifts, and more, there is something there for everyone. Did you know that they ship thousands of packages a month all over the United States and the world? Stop by their storefront in Athens, Alabama, or shop their wide selection anytime at truthbooks.com. Be sure to use promo code MARKWHITE at checkout for 15% off of your purchase. That's promo code MARKWHITE at truthbooks.com for 15% off.
For all your
strawberry
needs, I suggest J. Calvert Farm, located 3 miles south of Dodge City on Highway 69, exit 299 off Interstate 65. J. Calvert Farm currently has
strawberries.
Give them a call at 256-636-2752. That's J. Calvert Farm in Dodge City, Alabama.
J. Calvert Farm. Strawberries. Let's go, Daddy.
Hey, everybody. This is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
Hey, y'all. This is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, this is Maggie Peterson. I played Charlene Darling on The Andy Griffith Show, and you are listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, folks. This is Ricky Skaggs, and you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White.
Welcome to another edition of The Mark White Show. I am your host, Mark White, and I have a conversation that needs to be had today. It's one that we're talking about young people, trying to meet them where they are, trying to help them move forward in this life. And it does tie into what you have been watching on the national news, the world level news, where Connie Ridgway was murdered back October 23rd, 2015. I have helped her son, Austin, and Cameron, her sons, Austin and Cameron, throughout this journey to be a voice for them, to be an advocate for this family. And we realize, even as a former law enforcement officer, that there are changes that need to be made. There are some opportunities and some doors that may open if we open our eyes to some of the reality of what is happening around us. I know that there's no one listening right now who doesn't want to impact a young person. We love children. We love our young people, and we want to make a difference in their life. And that's what this conversation today is about. As I talk to Stephanie Manning, who is a licensed master social worker, and glad to have her on the program to bring some insight to maybe some things that we can do to help in our community. Welcome to The Mark White Show, Stephanie Manning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Glad to have you, Stephanie, and I appreciate you choosing this career path, because you chose to do this, I'm guessing, because you cared about people and you wanted to see people grow and flourish and have successful, happy lives.
Yes, it's actually more of a selfish notion. I think I get so much satisfaction out of seeing people grow. And that's why I initially started working with kids when I first started out, because with kids, if you practice mental health or social services with them, you get it, they adapt more quickly. So they, you can see more success in a faster rate. So I would just love seeing a parent just finally be able to breathe and be like, wow, my kid can act, you know, controlled and well-behaved, or wow, my kid isn't going to kill themselves. Thank God. You know, like all that stuff. It really, that's what motivated me. And that's what still motivates me. It's just at a different space right now.
And I think looking back to my own life, becoming a police officer, I had a motivation because of dysfunctional family. And as I separated from my siblings and my birth parents, I was raised by my grandparents, but it stayed with me some of the trauma that occurred because of that. And I am very sensitive to what young people experience at home. I'm sensitive to the suffering that some of them have to go through, and always ready to find a way to try to help if I can, because I do know the pain. And I was one of those young people who, if my grandparents don't take me in, I may have been in foster care. I could have been somewhere else. I don't know. I'm thankful for my grandparents and for them having that type of love to take in a grandchild like they did. But there are those who don't have that opportunity. And as a community, as a society, we need to look and say, what can we do to help these kids if they're in foster care, wherever they're at? Because foster kids go to school too.
Right.
And they're in the classrooms and they're with other children. And if there's something that we can do, some measure we can take to try to help them wherever they're at, whatever trauma they've experienced, not to let it fester, not to let it get worse, because down the road, certain things happen, including drug addiction,
right,
including getting around the wrong people and making some poor choices later on in life.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, you know, in foster care, those kids experience what we in the mental health world call ACEs, or adverse childhood experiences. But there are several different categories of that. But basically, that score, your ACEs score, determines whether you're more likely to become a drug addict, or if you're more likely to be, you know, have bad behavior, be involved in the criminal justice system and all of that. And so, yeah, it really does go down to those key ages between, you know, birth and elementary age, where you really determine where that child is going to go and how that child is going to live. And so that's why we really, I wish we had more education and more awareness on parenting and different mentorship and things like that, you know, to help kids grow in the most beneficial way possible.
In an interesting twist to this conversation, your grandmother, Martha Thornton, was my first grade teacher.
Yes.
And Miss Thornton, she meant a lot to me. She knew where I was coming from at the time. And she remembers young people like me. Throughout the years, she had to have those children in her classroom, and she had to learn how to deal with those situations. And I believe that Miss Thornton was one of those difference makers in my life, to spend a little time with little Mark and show that she cared about him. I wouldn't be sitting here remembering about Miss Thornton if she hadn't had that impact on me back in first grade those many years ago.
Yes, my granny is such a gentle soul. It's so funny because she treats every child, she loves children, but every child that approaches her, no matter what they look like, no matter if they're rude or disrespectful, she treats every child like her best friend. And I think that's why she was a teacher and why she became a teacher. But also, I remember she would always tell me stories of like the less privileged kids that would come in, and how she would care for them and make sure, like, you know, she would talk about just neglected kids that came in dirty or that had never owned a toothbrush, and how she would just, you know, kind of mother them the way she mothered her three daughters. And it's almost like she was a social worker, but in a school. And that's why nowadays we have school social workers. But yeah, she definitely remembers all of the kids that she grew to have a relationship with. And so that's really funny how y'all were little BFFs.
And it's a generational impact.
Yes.
Because you mentioned the three ladies that she raised.
Yes.
And now here you are. So I would say that the direct impact of Miss Thornton as being a relative, a grandmother of yours, has impacted not only the three daughters that she and her husband raised, but also the grandchildren. It will affect future generations from this point too.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, so, you know, my granny's three daughters all went into helping professions, all went to, you know, serve a better purpose. And then her three granddaughters did the same. I'm a social worker. One of her granddaughters is a nurse. And, you know, her two of her daughters were teachers. One was a scientist. You know, it's just we all ventured to, I guess, do better for the world. And that's what we're trying to do. At least that's what I'm trying to do. And I know my granny's super proud of me and I'm really proud of her. So, yeah, we're definitely helping people in this family.
Well, I'm proud of that connection and I'm glad that we have that connection. Going back to the work that you've done as a social worker, you were in Jackson County for a little while.
I was.
And you were able to put in place a pretty good plan when it came to therapeutic foster care.
Yes. Therapeutic foster care is a method that it was created for children in foster care who may have some special needs, not necessarily cognitively, but could be they just have depression, anxiety, they could have behavior problems, or it could be just a medical need. Basically, it's just a foster child that needs that extra bit of attention. And a therapeutic placement means that that child has to have their own room, have some independence, and kind of be treated like a member of the family and not just a foster child. The parents have to go through different trainings and stuff, basically the same trainings that a therapist or a mental health police officer would have to go through, so they can really understand that child's needs and learn how to parent them appropriately. So this is good for children who have been in the system for a long time or children who have behavior problems and that may have contributed to them being removed from their parents. So, you know, a lot of times you have kids like runaways or children who have been expelled multiple times or children involved in gangs. Those are the kids that get those therapeutic placements, even though I think every child should really have a therapeutic placement if they're in foster care, because there is trauma there. And that's what it all goes down to is trauma, something bad that they've experienced before that contributes to that behavior.
Last week, Stephanie, I was in Hackleburg, Alabama, and I was with Bikers Against Bullies USA.
Wow.
It's a chapter that's formed in Northwest Alabama. It's Bikers Against Bullies USA, Northwest Alabama chapter. What they did was they had an opportunity to go to Hackleburg High School and talk to 6th, 7th, and 8th graders about bullying. One of the young ladies that was part of the group, the liaison, his name is Sean Mr. Clean Lindsay. His daughter, she's 17 years old, attends Hackleburg High School, and she was able to share her own message from around the 8th grade. She was 13, 14 years old when she was bullied. She wanted to take her life. It had gotten so bad. Bikers Against Bullies really, as we mentioned, stands in the gap of those children who are being affected by bullying. One of the things that they do is they provide benches to schools. And this particular bench, if a child is having a problem, they go and sit down on the bench, and that lets teachers and lets other students know that maybe they should go talk to that young person and try to help them with whatever's going on. And I really like that idea, because we may not necessarily want to verbalize what's happening to us. It may be too hard to talk about, but you can go and sit on this bench and people know that something needs to be taken care of. So I really appreciate what Bikers Against Bullies are doing to help the community and reaching out to these young people. And that is a great starting point to be able to have a fellow classmate talk about her own experience with bullying, what it did to her, how bad it was for her, but then to show that she was able to overcome it and now be a voice for other children who are going through a similar experience.
Yes, I really like that, because there's a lot of therapeutic methods that suggest, you know, the having a quiet space or just a space designated for when you're struggling because of that lack of communication. It's hard to verbalize what you're exactly feeling, especially when it's a lot of feelings at once, and especially if you're a child who lacks a lot of development. So I like that a lot. I've actually, when I interned at Metro Nashville City Schools in Nashville, Tennessee, they had quiet spaces or those designated spaces in every single classroom. So that child, anytime a child got up, even if it was out of turn, they could go to that space and not get in trouble. And that's what I really liked, because that was something, it was a universal space for everyone to use when they needed it. And it sounds like those benches are the exact same. So I really love that that's, you know, happening in our schools, especially in different ways. Like the benches is something I would have never thought of.
When I think about another organization, I think about Make-A-Way Foundation and Stacy Givens, who founded that because her son had autism.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have sensory rooms for the kids who have special needs. Well, there are things that we need if we're not in that same boat with the special needs community that maybe there's something that we can do for those who can struggle with other issues and having an outlet, so to speak. And I will tell you this, at the Hackleberg event with Bikers Against Bullies, there was a counselor on the scene, and students started to request speaking with the counselor.
Awesome.
In addition to that, there was a young person with several siblings. They needed clothes. They needed groceries. And Bikers Against Bullies were outside meeting about, let's get the sizes, let's get the food together, and then take care of that need for this family. And if you don't have Bikers Against Bullies, or you don't have an organization talking to those students that day, you don't have those kids reaching out for help.
Right.
And so you've got to open that door. You've got to give them an avenue.
Right.
If they don't have the avenue, they can't walk down the street. You know, got to give them a place to be able to have an outlet to share about what's going on in their life.
Right. And I think it goes down to everything social work is about. It's just having those resources available for everyone, not just certain places. You know, the thing with therapeutic foster care is that personally, I think every foster care should be therapeutic. I think every foster child experiences trauma because they're a foster child. But not all locations, all states, or all counties offer that or have that available. So, you know, that could mean separating a child even further away from their family or their closest relative. But the same with like schools. A lot of rural schools do not have those resources to connect students with the things that will help them. And that is why you see a lot more violence, a lot more bullying, a lot more criminal justice involvement in schools that are rural or that don't have those resources or that are underfunded even. So that's a huge problem that social workers know all too well, because they are placed in those settings and they are told to fix something that is basically unfixable without those resources.
And you have a unique skill when it comes to grant writing.
Yes.
And when we're talking about rural areas and we're talking about funding, that's where it gets dicey for some people, is where does the money come from? If you have a grant that's available and you have the talent and the skill to be able to put that together and to get approval and bring that money into the community, then you can start putting things into place. And that right there is a great opportunity for rural communities to be able to do this, to say, well, we know that we have a problem. We need a solution, but it takes money to have the solution. How do we get the money? Grant writing and these other tools that are there to help bring it in helps alleviate some of the pressure that comes with the communities wanting to do something about it.
Yeah. And the thing with grants is it's a very overwhelming process. It's a lot of paperwork and a lot of skilled writing where it's like you have to write it in a certain way in order to get the funds you want or in order to qualify. And so that's something I wish the layperson was taught. Like, I wish we, you know, were able to teach high school students what a grant is and how to grant write, because that's a business skill, too. One thing I'm always happy to do as a social worker is to teach someone else how to write a grant and to do that for their nonprofit or their organization, because I think we need to spread the love and spread our skills. And also, the money is there for the taking. I know grantors who literally have to pull teeth to get people to get money. Like, it's just no one wants to go through that process when they're not trained in it. And so it's hard to even give out money sometimes. I think grant writing is something we need to increase more, especially around in the Alabama areas. Like the South, we don't use grants enough, and I think we definitely should.
We don't know what we don't know.
Exactly.
And once we have the knowledge and we have the tools to move forward, then we should do that.
Yeah.
With what you do, and I want to make sure that listeners who have a vision, some idea of a nonprofit, something that they want to do to make a difference in their community, that they know what your talents are and your ability to make sure you can share, and they know, well, I have this great idea, but I just don't know how to move it forward.
Yeah, basically, the first thing I would do if I wanted to start an organization that helps the community in some way, I would go to the local chamber of commerce or the local community foundation and see what funding opportunities are there first. Usually they have a resource guide or something like that that has a list of funders or private companies or foundations, family foundations that need to give away money every year. And usually you'll have to pick and choose which ones you'll qualify for and which ones you won't. A lot of times there are really strict guidelines, but sometimes there are really no guidelines at all. So you just kind of have to sift through them all and look at all of the criteria. And then I would just Google how to write a grant and look at some examples and then see kind of how the writing goes, see what the wording is, and then decide what your goal is. What do I want to do with this money? write it down, and talk to the person in charge of the grant. Maybe they can help you identify ways to make it easier to apply for. And also keep track of that grant deadline. Applications are due by a certain date. If you pass the date, you're not getting the fiscal year's funding. So those are just some quick facts, some quick suggestions on grant writing, but it's definitely an overwhelming process for sure, especially when you don't know where to look. What I always do is when I'm looking for a specific grant for a specific organization, I just Google Alabama grants or whatever state grants, and usually several websites pop up, and you can kind of see what specifically is there, whether it be a foundation from a family, like a very large family who left money somewhere, or a company. Like a lot of companies have foundations where they have to give away money. So those are always there. It depends on what time of year it is and depends on what their focus is.
And going back to what the subject is, when we're talking about mental health, we're talking about trauma, childhood trauma, and their experiences. Maybe there's something out there where we, as a community, some individual has an idea where they could step up and take care of a need. Everybody can't do everything,
right?
But we can all do something.
Right.
And when we think that way, even if your idea is simple, if it's something so basic and you think, nobody cares about that, they might. And we want to encourage people out there to take that step, because guess what? When you take a step and somebody else sees you take that step, then they want to. It can grow into something very big, very successful, and very helpful to the community.
Absolutely. I think that's what's great about grants is sometimes you can get ideas from the grant application. You know, many times they're there for, you know, poverty or for community wellness, employment, finance classes, you know, the whole thing. You can find any grant for anything if you look hard enough.
We were helping the community in Chicago, on the south side of Chicago, not too long ago through Project Hood. And they are building a community center in what's called the D block of south side of Chicago. And they're doing job training. And so somebody had a vision for that. Somebody decided that they wanted to bring something in a very dangerous area of Chicago, something that can shine a little light on the community. And when it comes to job training, some of those basic skills that they can teach, I was telling somebody the other day that what we know and what we've experienced is not the experience that somebody else had. And so we may take for granted that everybody knows this particular thing because we've always known it our life.
Right.
That doesn't mean that other people know. And so if we have something that we feel like is a tool to help, kind of like Miss Thornton having a kid that had never had a toothbrush.
Right.
Well, if you've never had a toothbrush,
how would you know?
How would you know?
Yeah.
But once you get the kid a toothbrush and you explain this is what you do with the toothbrush, and I know this is a basic example, but it's that way with everything.
It is.
Don't take for granted that everybody knows what you know and everybody had an experience similar to yours, because guess what? They didn't.
Well, and also, like, you know, there may be something you don't know that you may not even realize. You know, and for me, I learn just as much from my clients as they do from me. It is definitely a two-way street, especially since I grew up so privileged and having such a good home environment. It's really interesting for me to learn of other people's experiences because they've developed these, quote, street smarts that I have not developed. And it's very interesting to see their perspective and also learn some skills and stuff like that from, like, their business mindset, whether it be used in a healthy way or not.
Yes. Well, Stephanie Manning, in just a minute, I'm going to have Austin Williams on the program. His mother, Connie Ridgway, was murdered October 23rd, 2015. We have been fighting for this family, and we realize that there are opportunities, especially at the younger level when we're talking about kids, to be able to catch some of them and give them some opportunities that help put them on a better path. And me and Austin want to talk about that because we want to help victims. We want to be a support to victims, but we want to be proactive. We want to catch this on the other side.
Prevention.
Before these bad things happen. And I think that really is a great segue for the conversation with Austin, because if we get our minds wrapped around that young people today are the future for tomorrow, and they have needs right now that aren't being met, and we can find a way to make a difference in their life right now in this moment, then we will absolutely change their trajectory because of those decisions. And we don't want to neglect a young person if we know that they have a need. And you heard, if you were out on the street as a listener and you heard that there was a child that needed something and you were in a position to do that, I think very few people would say, no, I'm not going to help that kid.
Right.
We just have to know what the need is, and it's opening that door, just like you talking about therapeutic foster care.
Yes.
Who's heard of therapeutic foster care? Unless you're in that industry, in that community, you're not going to know about it. But now, today, through the show, people can start Googling. They can start finding out more. That's what I want them to do, is to take, hear something, and then say, I'm going to research this. I'm going to start studying about this and find out more about it, because we can independently gain a lot of knowledge with the tools that we have with technology to find out more about exactly what you're talking about today.
Yes. And that's what I would like. I love when parents seek out that advice for their children specifically. I love when parents come to therapy or come to a, you know, a session, whether they're the ones needing it or their child is, and they're open, because that is, that tells me as a therapist, as a social worker, this is going to fix itself. Whatever the problem is going to fix itself. If a parent is open to learning and to changing and to doing some things differently, things will do better. One thing, just like therapeutic foster care, I love the concept of gentle parenting. It's a newer concept. It's a lot of young parents use it, but scientifically it works. It benefits the kids. It gives them a little more freedom, or a sense of freedom, while still honing in on structure. Structure is good for children, but you also have to give them an open place to speak their mind. Put those two together and you will have a great kid.
Another thing to research.
Yes.
Excellent. Stephanie Manning, thank you for joining me here on the Mark White Show today. Again, as a licensed master social worker, we appreciate your service to the community. Thank you for joining me, and maybe we've opened some eyes today. Maybe somebody's brain is going off. I've got to research this. I've got to find out more. And then they'll go and educate themselves, and somebody out there listening right now is going to make a huge difference, maybe because of the tools that have been put in place today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. I hope everyone learned something, and hopefully I'll learn something in the future from your show.
Thank you so much. Folks, here on the Mark White Show, we're recognizing difference makers like Stephanie Manning. I appreciate you listening to her segment. As I mentioned, we're going to have another segment coming up with Austin Williams. He is the son of Connie Ridgway, who was murdered on October 23rd, 2015. I hope you'll stick with us as I continue this conversation with my former classmate from Lauderdale County High School and class valedictorian, Austin Williams. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
We can make a difference. All we have to do is try. Every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Experience the difference at Athens Bible School. The vision and purpose is to provide each student a quality education in a Christ-centered environment to develop the whole person spiritually, mentally, physically, and socially in safe and supportive surroundings. The solid biblical foundation permeates learning and culture in the classrooms and every extracurricular activity.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes.
For those of us who are directly responsible for the care of loved ones, we want to do the very best we can to take care of them. This is where estate planning is so important. With estate planning, you can still take care of your loved ones even when you're gone. I encourage you to make a plan by going to BamaEstatePlanning.com. Harlan Mitchell has all the tools you need to make a solid plan for your family, just like I did. That's BamaEstatePlanning.com. Make a plan and do it today.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers.
This is Cora White inviting you to tune in every Saturday to Cora's Corner on The Mark White Show.
And we're back. Welcome back to the Mark White Show. As I spoke about in the last segment, as we talked to Stephanie Manning, we were talking about how we could help young people, what we can do to try to help them on a path that can make them productive citizens. We realize that there's childhood trauma for so many people when they're younger, and we want to be able to try to combat some of that and put in place some resources so that these young people are helped and they know that people care about them and they know that people love them and are there to support them. And right now I have on the line with me my friend and fellow classmate from Lauderdale County High School, Austin Williams. You know Austin because he's Connie Ridgway's son. Welcome to the show, Austin.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, buddy. For 5 years, we did the Connie Ridgway candlelight memorials. We reached out to law enforcement. We reached out to resources, vocal people that could help us. Let's talk about what a journey that's been for 5 years to actually have a name to be put with the murder of your mom.
Yeah, it's been a long struggle is what it felt like. You know, she's going a cold case for so long. It was just getting to the point where personally, I'm almost accepting that we'll probably never know who did it. But I was never going to relinquish that commitment to remembering her, you know, every year as much as possible and just to fight for justice as long as we could, even though it didn't really seem like we were going to get it. And now that we have Casey's confession, it was just a huge relief to know we have a name.
And Austin, we know that there's been a lot of law enforcement over the past few days trying to help us to regather ourselves to get that justice for Connie. And we just had some good news just a little while ago as far as being able to get back on track with our Justice for Connie Ridgway effort.
Yeah, that was amazing news. It's a miracle, really, because I was expecting the worst.
Well, and when I posted, "We've got him," that's an important part of our effort is we want each person who's involved with this crime, we want each person to face justice, not just one person, and we want the right people to face justice. That's been where our stand has been the entire time, is that let's get the right people, and we want to know the facts so that there is closure for Connie Ridgway and your family, Austin.
Yeah, that's what we're after, closure. And, you know, I'm a firm believer of innocent until proven guilty, and we want to make sure the guilty are punished and innocent go free.
And I realize that here lately we've had a lot of national media attention brought to Connie's case. If we go back to 2015, Austin, and we recognize the media who were part of that immediate effort, it took a lot of work, but we had represented there Way 31, we had WFF 48, we had WHNT 19, we had the East Lauderdale News. They were there to cover this, and we wanted to continue to bring press coverage to this effort to try to reach more people, knowing that we didn't yet know who it was that had taken your mom's life.
Yeah, that's right. And didn't we have the attorney general? Wasn't he attending the first one? Do I remember right?
We had Will with the DA's office come out, and then we had Sheriff Rick Singleton came out, as well as Vocal. They came out and even supplied the sound equipment for us to be able to have the candlelight memorial.
Yeah, I still remember that one. That one was a good one. It was very moving to see the support that we had, because, you know, Cameron and I were in a dark place because we just recently buried her, if I remember correctly. And it was just a hard, hard place for us to be. And just seeing all the support there was just, it made it a little bit more bearable. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And we wanted that community to know that we were going to come together and nobody was going to stand alone if there was somebody out there who was potentially a risk to people in Rogersville. We did not yet know if this was going to happen again in the town.
And we were quite fortunate that it didn't, because, you know, because Casey was a free person for a good solid 2 months there, and we didn't know who it was and who. We didn't know that Connie was going to be the only one they found, right? So it was a fairly scary time.
It was brought to the community's attention in a very unique way because Lauderdale County was playing Clements High School in football. At the same time, first responders were responding to the apartment at Meadowland. People were wondering what had happened. You have all these fire trucks, all the first responders there, and word was starting to get out about what had actually happened. And that right there is one way to help spread the word too, because there was no way that anybody missed all the lights that were over there during that football game.
Yeah, there's no way. Everybody in town was at that football game, basically.
That's exactly right. And, of course, we went for Sheriff Singleton to bring him on to the case so that he could use his resources. And I want to thank Sheriff Singleton for being a part of this effort, because as we've talked about, he didn't have to do this. He could have said, look, I've been left out of this case. I was asked not to be a part of it. And he could have just stood aside and let everybody else do their thing and not have to be a part of justice for Connie Ridgway.
Yeah, he easily could have done that, but he was willing to take the commitment to help us out. And I have a lot of respect for the sheriff for that, and really did appreciate that.
And Austin, as I've publicly said, you've come a long way, and I know that Connie would be proud of the way that you've been able to field all of these calls from the national media. You've handled it well, my friend. I've always been proud of you for what you've accomplished in school and then outside of school through your work, but this just adds a whole new layer to you, Austin, and your abilities, man. You are a very talented man.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I just answered the call. You know, the call was there, and when the going gets tough get going. I guess that's me.
Exactly. And we're still very much pursuing justice for Connie Ridgway, and we do want people to be a part of our group. We want them to understand that it's not a discussion group. It's not one of those. What we're doing is offering support to your family. We are pursuing justice for Connie, and we're letting the legal system work as they do. We're letting those outlets do their thing as far as bringing justice. And just like today with Casey being caught, it took a lot of law enforcement to come together to make that happen. So we want to recognize whoever witnessed the people that we were looking for and then called it in, and then law enforcement to do their job and to bring both of these people back to answer for what they've done.
Yeah, that's huge. That's a miracle. It took a huge amount of cooperation, the marshals, the sheriffs, everybody across state lines, the federal lines. It's just amazing.
Well, this has been something that has joined our lives, Austin, in a very unique way through the past 6.5 years. And I love you, my friend, and I'm here for whatever you and Cameron need. And we're going to continue to pursue justice for Connie, for your mom. And we don't quit, even though sometimes there's some things there that may challenge us and upset us. Mm-hmm. And I know I was upset last week. I was very upset and felt like, what did all the work that we put in do? And now I'm starting to look at it as we've talked and look at some things that are happening that maybe there's a reason for it. Some good things can come out of this bad.
I think so. And I think my mother would love, you know, the good things that have come out of it. I think she would love that. And I think she's looking down on us, and she's enjoying her grandchildren. And, you know, one day we'll get to be with her. Hopefully it's a little bit longer, but, you know, one day we'll all get to be together and hang out.
Well, we're going to celebrate the moments that we have here, and we're going to get through those struggles. And I believe we're going to come out on the other end a winner in this, and a winner for Connie, because she definitely needed justice. She was a person who needed to be recognized in the Rogersville community, and boy, oh boy, she has been recognized in a big way across the entire planet.
Yeah, she has, and I really do appreciate that. It means a lot to me personally.
Austin, before we go, let's talk a little bit about influencing young people and making a difference in their life. As I mentioned in the first segment, I had Stephanie Manning. She is a master licensed social worker, and her focus has been helping young people who face childhood trauma and maybe taking a path that somebody like Casey would have taken, and trying to catch them when they're young and being a positive influence for them.
Oh, that sounds amazing. How did that go?
It went great. She basically talked about the foster care system. She talked about how, as a community, when we see a child that is going through a struggle and letting them know that we have support. And she talked about grants that are available through the federal government to bring in some programs, especially to rural communities where they can help young people. I think one of the things is, first off, noticing that there's a problem, and that could be at church, that could be in the school system, it could be seeing a young person out, but then trying to show them that even though you've had this trauma, it doesn't have to lead you down a path of hating the world or resenting people or hurting people, because I myself had childhood trauma, but I took a different path. And it was thanks to my grandparents stepping in and being two people who were supportive of me and leading me down a different way.
Yeah, I think it's critical to get in there and help children out when they're younger and give them that support that they need. I recognize that now even more as a father.
And Austin, we've talked about it, and down the road, we want to try to do some things in honor of your mom and see if we can put together an organization that can help young people and to give them a purpose in this life and to not let the bad things that happen to them take complete control and lead them down to a path of, say, drugs or bad influences, gang violence, things of that nature, but we want to try to help. And then on the victim side, to make sure that we offer support to victims when they need a voice, if they need the media, if they need attention brought to their case, then being able to do that to try to help them as well.
Yeah, I think those are all great ideas. I think Connie would love for us to do things like that.
Well, Austin, we'll be talking very soon, but I wanted to make sure our listeners knew what we've gone through over the past 6.5 years. I know that there are a lot of people out there who have stepped up to try to help over the past 6.5 years, some amazing people who have rallied around your family, and we just want to say that we appreciate them. We appreciate their kindness. Mm-hmm. We appreciate their support when it comes to your mom and justice for Connie Ridgeway.
Yeah, we appreciate it so much. We just can't say how there's no way we could have done it by ourselves without everyone's support.
I love you, buddy.
Hey, love you too, man.
Folks, here on The Mark White Show, we're recognizing difference makers, and we're sharing stories to encourage and inspire, and Connie Ridgeway helped to inspire The Mark White Show because we had to unify a community for justice for Connie. Please share the show with your family, your friends, and your neighbors, and follow The Mark White Show on Facebook and Instagram, and then subscribe to The Mark White Show podcast wherever you get your podcast. You have been listening to another edition of The Mark White Show, and this is Mark White, encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
Hi, I'm Elena Burt.
I'm Chandler Mordecai.
I'm Harper Howard.
And you're listening to The Mark White Show. Let's find a way to make a difference today.
There are moments in life you wish you could capture forever. Alabama the Beautiful is a new online magazine that preserves images from sweet home Alabama. Yours anytime, online, every month. Where the eye captures the moment, and it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out alabamathebeautifulmagazine.com.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
Mr. Cecil Batchelor is the one that started this business as Dependable Service Center. And even though now it's Green's Dependable Hardware and we're a True Value store, our tagline is still Your Dependable Service Center. We've tried to keep that alive for all these years. Mr. Batchelor really started a good business. We're really excited to be carrying on a long-standing tradition. It's the oldest retail store in the city of Russellville. We're Green's Dependable Hardware, 15220A Highway 43 in Russellville, Alabama. We're right behind McDonald's or right across the street from the hospital. Number is 256-331-0123.
Your Dependable Service Center.
Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call, located in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama.
And gentle people who shout a friendly hi when they go passing by, who live and love in my hometown. These are my